Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Arsenal lose to Villarreal 3-2, representing consecutive losses in pre-season. It's a case of, does it matter? Should it matter? How concerned should we actually be? Or is it just a pre-season result? So let's get into all of that right now. But first, welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you are well, and thank you so much for tuning in. So we'll cover predominantly this recording, we will cover the Arsenal-Villarreal match that was played at the Emirates Stadium. First time Arsenal have appeared at the Emirates this preseason, having finished the Asian leg of the preseason tour. And there's a few Arsenal connections as well in lining up against Villarreal, who themselves have a very good record against Arsenal, especially in recent seasons. They're just one of those randomly bogey sort of sides that cause Arsenal a lot of problems. But in terms of the Arsenal connection, Nicola Pepe, of course, he lined up, he started, and was there anything ever more certain than him scoring, right? It was always going to happen. And even on their bench was Denis Suarez. Remember him when a few seasons ago when we signed him on loan from Barcelona? That was just such a different time and era of Arsenal, wasn't it? I mean, it's wild to think how far the club has progressed and advanced since those times, right? So I too was just shaking my head when I just thought back to what that era for Arsenal represented on and off the pitch. But anyway, I've digressed, so I'll get back into it now. Arsenal Villarreal, it was not a great performance. I mean, look, it's if you listen to my last recording when I spoke about the loss to Spurs from Hong Kong, I give a heavy disclaimer to all of this. Like it's pre-season, so I think the results, sure, it's great to win, and sure, it's not great to lose. It's not great to be sliced open as often as Arsenal have been, and this actually dates back to that Newcastle match that was in Singapore, the second match of that tour. It was very strange watching how open Arsenal were and getting sliced apart, picked off on the counter. It continued as well here today, or it was overnight Australian time. It's odd to see Arsenal opened up like that, and as disjointing as it is to see, I also know inherently that it's pre-season. And this is the kind of stuff that we just won't. Well, I can't definitively say we won't see this when the real stuff begins. But what I can say is that this is not typical of Arsenal. This is not typical of Arsenal's shape, Arsenal's discipline, Arsenal's structure across the last few seasons. It's very rare that we are that easily picked apart. So I am very, very confident that once the real stuff begins, once the Premier League season kicks off again at Old Trafford, that this stuff will largely be gone. We will be back in shape, and we will be back doing what we do very well, which is we're a very defensively disciplined, sound team. And I'm confident that we will see that continue. At the other end of the pitch, of course, yes, there are very valid question marks around Arsenal's attack. Do we move the ball quick enough? Do we transition well enough? Do we progress the ball quickly enough to take advantage of opportunities? How will Victor Gyökeres fit into our attacking setup? Is Saka, has he had enough time this preseason to get back to his best and build up the load accordingly. There's question marks over the left wing. So there's a lot of question marks around the attack. One thing I'm very, very confident of is that it's really difficult for the players inside to really, really G themselves, to get themselves up for what are largely just, I know they call them preseason matches, but these are basically glorified friendlies. The objective of these games is to get minutes into the legs of players. Match simulation is critical. And to that point, I also want to make mention of how pleasing it was to see Gabriel and Timber back. Their first minutes of preseason. They haven't played any minutes at all, even though they went out for the Asian tour. They both themselves are on a different schedule, a different timeline in terms of returning to the senior team. So there's a number of different objectives. Sure, I want to see Arsenal win everything. I want to see Arsenal win every match. I don't want to concede silly goals like we've seen a few times. But at the end of the day, am I really going to dwell on matches like this? Am I even going to remember them after a week or so? The answer is just categorical no. I've already kind of forgotten the matches that I referenced before in Asia. These matches don't live long in the memory. So I know everyone varies on this, and I know that there might be a section of fans who are quite troubled by Arsenal's lackluster performances and difficulties in converting chances or even creating chances and open play. And I get that. I'm not here to tell anyone how to feel. All I can do is just really put forward my opinion is that coming through unscathed, getting minutes into players, embedding, integrating new signings, to me, these are the priorities and the actual results are largely secondary. So in that respect, I can compartmentalize these results. If we see, I will add on to the end of this, if we see this stuff in two and a bit weeks' time at Old Trafford, then yes, absolutely, that will be a concern. For now, though, it's not panic stations, and I don't get the sense that anyone is really panicking. It's just it's just one of those things now that just there's going to be a few bumps in the road, especially when we're integrating so many new players, right? So speaking of which, I might get straight into selection. So it was interesting this time. Norgaard started. He was paired with Mikel Merino. I don't think we're going to see that lineup that type of midfield combination too often across the season. Wanieri as the right eight, that was very, very promising. I always like what I see from him because similar to Max Dowman, when they're on the pitch, there's something just so uniquely direct about them. When they get the ball, it's just instinct, right? They just have one thing on their mind to drive the ball forward, take a shot where they can, look for the pass. These two players in particular, and they're both teenagers. It's just wild to be talking about them in these sorts of terms. Dowman, especially, I just cannot fathom how remarkable it is what we've seen unfolding under our eyes. He's 15 years old, and again, when he's come on, he's just got one thing on his mind: just to have that belief, that level of confidence. It's just a testament to them, to their characters, to themselves, their families, to the confidence instilled in them by the coaching staff, by Arteta, that they're just given that sort of belief to go out there and just do their thing. It's brilliant to watch. It really is. And we, of course, saw the first start for Victor Gyökeres, who I'll come back to in a moment. But elsewhere in terms of the lineup, that back four, it remains to be seen how many minutes Timber and Gabriel can play in the final preseason match in a few days' time. I believe it's on Saturday. But the reality is that the likelihood is that the back four or the back five, if you include Raya, of course, that we saw start here will be what we also see at Old Trafford, being Raya in goal, White, Saliba, Kiwior, and Lewis Skelly. So at least they're getting some meaningful minutes in together. I got to say, maybe I should just do it now, right? All three goals that we conceded, all three goals that Villarreal scored, that was so avoidable. And this is just a little trait that I so often I find myself referencing when Arsenal concede goals. It's just that it's just one of those things. Like we're so defensively sound and so well coached and structured that sometimes some of the goals that we concede, it doesn't reconcile with this notion that Arsenal are so good defensively, because we are. But one of the quirks are that we're also susceptible to this is random out of nowhere goal. Take that opener, for example, the goal scored by Pepe, who I mentioned earlier, that he was always going to score. That was a really silly goal to concede. It was deflected up, and Kiwior, I know he's trying to protect the ball from the striker who's in a tussle with him. However, Kiwior would look back on that, especially the Kiwior who ended the season so well last season in those final few months after Gabriel suffered that significant hamstring injury. So Kiwior would have dealt with that. I mean, there's actually just one solution. Just put your foot through it. Just boot it. Just get it out of danger. It was such an odd-looking moment. It was almost in slow motion that he's just rounded himself and he's just left the ball open for Pepe to pounce on. Secondly, the second goal, that literally that ball can go anywhere. And look, I'm not gonna try and bemoan bad luck, because this can happen to anyone. But so often, Raya's made a really good save from close range. That ball can go anywhere. It's rare that Raya spills a ball, like I wouldn't even call it spilling the ball. That's probably too harsh. But it's rare that a rebound like that comes off Raya, because he's so good at tipping the ball either side of the post or if he had a bit more time up his hands, he gobbles everything up. He's got very, very safe hands. So on the rare occasions if the ball rebounds off him, it's unusual for it to come into the danger area like that. And it's just one of those things. It's floated towards the back post and another little tap in. And then finally, that last goal, that third goal, and maybe it was a common theme here, is that so much of the ball was down at Arsenal's end that out of nowhere we get picked off and we were sliced open for this third goal. And they've done it beautifully. That they really have. You can take nothing away from the play and the finish. They've sliced Arsenal open. It's a classic counter-attacking goal that they've just driven through. A low shot to Kepa's right. I think he got his fingertips to it. Again, it can go anywhere, but it's gone in the goal. And look, it is what it is. It's three goals. I mean, whether I describe them as preventable or avoidable or not, it doesn't really matter, because they're all in the back of the net. You can't discount a goal from that. A goal is a goal. So again, the reason I go through this in detail is that it is because we're embedding a number of new players. We're trying different shapes and systems and formations and player combinations. I'd like to think that we're going to get all this stuff out of our game as training ramps up, as the final match of preseason plays, and then the real stuff, the Premier League season, kicks off again, that we will really sharpen up and get this stuff out of our system again. Going back to what I mentioned earlier, if this little trait, if this continues into the Premier League season, especially with Arsenal's unrelenting start, then yes, that's going to cost us. It's going to cost us points. And the temperature around Arsenal at the moment, I've referenced this before, is that the temperature around Arsenal seems to be so hot at times that any slight misstep or mistake or a draw or something, the narrative around Arsenal, the coverage around Arsenal is just it's under such a pressure cooker that I'm just hoping that we get all this stuff out of the way and we're expecting to see a much more familiar, comprehensive, professional performance come Old Trafford, and I'm confident that that's what we're going to see. So Noni Madueke, I also want to mention in a moment, because that left wing is really up for grabs. Martinelli, he does so much right, doesn't he? He does so much right. He's so important defensively. He always lends support. He does a lot of grunt work supporting the fullback. It's a difficult thing to do as well, to be wary of, especially when we invert from that side. So there's extra, what's the word I'm looking for? There's extra responsibilities for the players on that side of the pitch. Everyone from Gabriel, who has to cover the space typically as the left centre half, or Kiwior in this instance. Declan Rice has to be on his toes. So it's just different to the right hand side, which we've seen much more stable for many seasons now at Arsenal. So I understand that this doesn't this doesn't completely excuse some of Martinelli's decision making in around the final third, especially when he gets to the box, and some of his finishing as well. I know it's a cause of frustration, but clearly he's an Arteta player. He does everything for the badge. He will do all the hard work as well off the ball that doesn't come with all the accolades. Still though, that left wing, it's up for grabs. It remains to be seen what Arsenal do with the approach of or the pursuit of Eberechi Eze, which from what I understand is that we are expecting to advance on with discussions with him, his camp, and Crystal Palace as the season's about to begin. So it's not a transaction that is going to be done imminently, but I think the intention is Arsenal's to still do what we can to sign him. But in the meantime, Madueke, he gives something different. I've always felt that Arsenal with a left footer on the left hand side, it's not something we've typically seen. The last time I can really recall seeing it in any great detail was there was a period of time when Pepe, who I've mentioned a lot in this podcast, I know, but you know, he actually looked all right a couple of times when he's played on the left hand side as a left footer. Saka a few times too when he's been out there. You know, it gives us extra width. Right, it doesn't always mean that we're going to cut in onto the right foot that we typically see with Martinelli and Trossard. Trossard is much more two-footed than Martinelli. Yes, however, they operate in different channels. Madueke, like I've always said, I think everyone's understood this for a while that he's not just a Saka backup. But when you pay, you don't pay £52 million for a quote unquote backup. Right, he's here as an established first team regular. So there's a position up for grabs there. It really is. It remains to be seen how serious Trossard's injury is. Arteta didn't seem too concerned in his press conference. I think he was fairly confident about Calafiori as well. I think he was asked about will these players be ready for commencement of the Premier League season, and he was quite positive in answering. But in the meantime, there's a position there up for grabs. Madueke, he got good minutes into him as well. I liked what I saw, albeit briefly. I like his mentality. He's got a pretty direct approach himself. He pointed to it in his statements upon his official interviews that he gets the ball and he just wants to beat his fullback. He wants to drive at them, attack them, and advance further. And that's really refreshing, because at times we've struggled to do that. Arsenal's play has been broken down so often, just a combination of things. We know that Saka gets two or three defenders on him. They always double up on him because of how good he is. And Arsenal not having someone at or near his level on the other flank, that's allowed them to overload on Saka. So all of a sudden, if we've got threats from both sides, it changes the whole dynamics. It gives the opposition some more things to think about. You know, they might then question whether they should commit so many players to one side when there's a danger lurking on the other side. Who knows? So Madueke, he's here to play, and he's going to play. I'm interested to see. I'm hoping he starts in the final preseason match. Let's see what he can do. Especially if he starts as a left wing, I'd love to see what he can do. Victor Gyökeres, I thought was quite good. I thought it was decent. Again, it's going to be one of the things where you can't read too much into it. It's literally his first start. It's his first start for Arsenal. I know he made some. He played some minutes in Asia. Again, how much can you really read into that? By the time he actually flew out there, it's a long, long journey, right, to go across halfway across the world. The time difference to acclimatize, or the whole jet lag thing. Then he's got to just have a few token training sessions with his new teammates, play a few minutes, fly all the way back to London. I'm not sure, you know, how well rested and prepared he actually is, but he played just over an hour. I liked what I saw. He's direct. It's going to take time to adjust, of course, adjust to his method of playing. His skill set And it's going to take time for the players around him to adjust to playing the type of balls that he wants and build up those relationships. So the whole thing is a work in progress, isn't it? It's really difficult to read too much into it. I'm just glad that he's played. He's got 60 minutes under his belt. I hope, again, he starts on the weekend if he's well enough, if he's fit enough. And the more and more that we see him, the more he plays, the better. Because speaking of which, Kai Havertz, I believe, has a little niggle. I don't know if it's a muscle injury or a knock. I missed the specific quotes about what it is, but he sat out today's game. So there are positions available for players who are going to put their hand up and want to be banging down the manager's door and say, yep, I'm ready. I'm ready to start at Old Trafford. And just make the whole selection process, make it as difficult as possible for him, because this is what Arteta has wanted. He's been calling for strengthening. He's been calling for quality options across the pitch, and he's getting it. He's finally getting that back in after an indifferent previous couple of windows, which has been discussed at length, so don't need to go over it again. But this is what Arteta has been calling for. He wants the depth in that squad. So it's up to the players now. It's incumbent upon them to be as ruthless as possible in seeing these opportunities and going for it and saying, no, I want to be the person that the manager selects on that team sheet. So I'm excited to see how that unfolds from here. Before I leave discussion on this particular game, we of course have to talk about the goals Arsenal scored. I've already mentioned Max Dowman and winning yet another penalty. It came after a very, very good spell of play that we were finally getting in behind them. We were getting in behind the fullbacks. Movement was sharp. Movement was good. We actually had more threats now on the pitch as we grew into the game. Maybe conceding that unnecessary third goal. Maybe that was a bit of a kick up the backside. Maybe pride took over with some of the players to say, now come on, we're not here in front of our home fans at a packed Emirates Stadium for the first time in the last few months in pre-season. We're not just going to allow this to go to crap. So maybe that was part of it too, that pride kicked in. But it was a good spell of play. As I've already sung Dowman's praises, I have to say it again. Like what this young man is doing is remarkable. Arsenal's opener, though, came from Christian Norgaard. We've heard about how much of a threat he is at set pieces. We know how tall he is as well. He's quite a physically imposing player to mark up against. And it was a really nice goal. Look, I would say if I was on the receiving end of that goal, and when you see a player floating in at the back post, you can again ask very valid questions of the defense. But it seemed to be a set play, because a few corners we took when Rice took over corner duty when he came on. Martinelli was taking them up until that point, but we're swinging them into the back post and looking for those deep balls and have someone lurk there and come in to take the header. And Norgaard did well placed. It was low. He struck it well. And it was a goal. So that was very pleasing to see. And I'm hoping that's just another string to our bow as the season goes on. Like, can we start to then exploit opposition defences? If they've got their hands full, having their best defenders, their best markers, taking on the likes of Jokeres and Havertz and Gabriel and whatnot from set pieces, there's always someone else to be able to pop up and cause a threat. So that was excellent to see. So before I sign this one out, I want to cover a listener question. If you're a repeat listener of the podcast, you will note that I always welcome these questions. Please, anyone at any time, submit any questions, comments you've got, any feedback. I read every single word. And one of my most loyal listeners from the start, Matt All Folks, once again has popped back up with another cracking comment. So I'll just read it out word for word. Matt has said, hey, great episode. Congrats on getting to 50. Thank you very much, Matt. And he goes on to say, you've mentioned you've been a massive fan of Ian Wright. Same for me. He's the reason why I'm an Arsenal fan. My question is, If you met Ian Wright and you could ask him one question, what would you ask? This is a sensational question, Matt. Thank you again. It's really, really difficult to answer. I've come up with so many different answers in my head, and many of them relate to things that, you know, he's mentioned before. He mentions in his punditry work and all sorts of various podcasts and interviews he's done. He's had quite a troubled upbringing, right? As we all know of. I mean, can you imagine just the abuse and the racism and the classism that he would have experienced, as many players, people of color, have and still do. So some of the questions I have in relation to that, I don't think that'd be appropriate, right? I can't just go out and directly ask him such a thing. So I think if I could have 10 questions, right, I could fill that up very, very easily. But if I'm limited to just one question, it would have to be something along the lines of, you know, he's spoken so openly about his relationship with David Rocastle, with Rocky, and what that relationship means to him, what their respective legacies are with Arsenal and the community and just the areas that they grew up in. I've seen clips of him when he sees murals in and around where young children play, and they see the pictures of them up on the walls. Like, it just means the world to him. So if I was to ask him one question, it would very much be in the essence of that, and his representation of Black Arsenal as well, which is a fantastic book, by the way, that was released late last year. I highly recommend. I learned so much reading that, right? It was just awe-inspiring for me. So I digress. To answer, to put it simply, what I would ask him is, in terms of, like, how much does it mean to him that the legacy of him and Rocky still carries forward today, when he still sees the names on the back of, you know, fans' shirts in the stands, of Rocky, of himself? Just what does that really mean to him? I'd love just to hear him just, I'd love to hear him talk for about 10, 15, 20 minutes about that. That would be incredible for me, just to listen to the man and hear it from in his own words directly, just what that means to him. So that'll be my answer, Matt. Thank you so much again for reaching out, and please continue to send the questions in. I love answering this kind of stuff. So on that note, I will wrap this one up there. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. If you could please kindly leave a like and subscribe if you're watching or listening on YouTube or on audio on your platforms, your podcast platforms, Apple Podcast or Spotify. A 5-star review would be most welcome. It would be most appreciated, please. It really does help boost engagement. And thank you so much, as always, for listening, for all your feedback. I'll be back on again in a few days, so send on through anything you'd like me to cover. Until then, look after yourselves. Take care of your mental health, your mental well-being. Check in on your loved ones. Do what makes you happy. And please just try and be kind. That's just what we need right now, now more than ever. In every interaction you have, please just try and be kind. I'll talk to you all again soon. And until then, come on, Arsenal.